Ebenezer family and friends, it is so good to be back with you on the day that the Lord has made. I tell you, the Lord has been good. Can anybody say he's been real, real good? He has been a lover of our souls, and I want you to remember that. He is a lover of our souls. If you look beside me, we're going to talk about the love of God today as we're drawing this series to a conclusion, just a closer walk with the Lord's already doing some other things in my heart. I want to just thank you. Thank you for just continuing to reach out to those that are around you, sharing the good news. We've got so many opportunities and ways at ebcnc.com to share God's word, to share God's love. Reach out in this season and time. There are so many that are going through, so many that are struggling. But you know what? Our Lord and God and Savior are everything. He is so, so faithful to us. I want to thank you for your support throughout the week. We've got our Monday manna that we're able to get teachings from various sources. On Tuesdays, our noonday Bible study. Wednesday, we're going through the book of Luke. And on Thursdays, we've got an in-person Bible study at 6 o'clock, where we're going through the book of 1 John, just growing closer to the Lord. Also, we thank you for lifting up our 8:45 and 10:45 in-person service, and also for our 10 o'clock online. And my heart is truly that more souls be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of Christ, and that we all grow to be more like him. Well, I'm just want to also thank you for your giving, your gifts of love, your prayers for the ministry, that God is just doing so many interesting things in this season and time. As many of you know, we have a Feed the Hungry ministry, where we actually go out in the Central Park in Greensboro, and we give out food and clothing, other things, so we're able to minister that way. We send out funds to overseas to support different ministries in Jamaica and Haiti. Actually, we're going into Honduras now. So many things that are happening, and I just thank the Lord for the connections that he's allowed this portion of the body to make. And thank you for being a cheerful giver. And I'm just praying. Don't stop praying for God to be manifested in all of our lives, that we can be used by him. Well, I'm just thinking about the word of God, and I'm ready to jump into it. Let's prepare our hearts to receive all that he has for us. We'll see you soon.
We're reading out Ecclesiastes 5. I was led to this one. I had another scripture. I was led to this one this morning. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they don't know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and do not let your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few, for a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the works of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there's also vanity. But fear God. Let the Lord add a blessing to his word.
Savior, I felt far from the above. I've been down to river ain't the same.
All right.
A prodigal return. All my hope is in Jesus.
All right.
Thank God yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. I'm no stranger to prison. I've worn shackles and chains.
All right, say it now.
I've been free and forgiven. Ain't going back. No, I'll never be the same.
All right, sing it again.
All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God yesterday is gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood.
All right.
There's a kind of thing that breaks a man down. Breaks him down to God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Then he picked me up, showed me what it means to be a man. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God yesterday is gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God yesterday is gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. Would y'all help me sing? All my... There you go. Thank God. Yesterday is gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. Let's do it one more time. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God yesterday is gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood.
Good morning, Ebenezer. Again, it is just so good to be able to get into Word together and to walk through it, especially as we have been going through this series together, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. And I pray as we have been just walking together that we've all been growing in the Lord. I know I've been challenged in my life just to seek the Lord more and more, and just thank Him for His grace and His forgiveness and His mercies and His kindness. As we go into this topic today, I'm telling you, it is a heavy one as we conclude this series. And I'm already looking ahead. Lord's put some things on my heart that we're going to be dealing with, some practical growth points within our lives that we can truly be what Christ would have us to be. But before we go any further, I just ask you to please go in a word of prayer with me. Father, thank You. Thank You for Your mercies and Your kindness and Your love. You are amazing. You are an awesome God. And I thank You for just allowing us to be together, Lord. When I say together, Lord, just through this virtual platform, reaching across state lines, in our living rooms, in our area, that we can just lift up Your Word. Now, Lord, I pray for those who are viewing and listening in that may not know You, who You are. I pray today be their day, that they will confess to their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, You've raised them from the dead and You said that they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from You. Oh, that they receive that gift today. Now, Lord, I ask You to move me out of the way and forgive me of my sins, cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And Holy Spirit, I welcome You yet again. You are our teacher. Would You teach us, guide us, and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like You. Thank You for all that You're doing, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to go to the end book in the Bible, the end book in the Bible. Some call it the eschatological book, as we look at the book of Revelations, the book of Revelations, chapter 1, and I want us to focus in on the fifth verse. Revelations chapter 1 and the fifth verse, it reads, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." I want to read that again, Revelations 1:5. "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." I want to speak from a title, "A Love Like This." A love like this. As we enter into this portion of scripture, just comes to my heart a song by this lady called Lauren Dingle. Lauren Dingle just had a whole bunch going on in her life as a child. She was actually isolated to her house for a couple of years because she had this disease that we're dealing with. And I know we're all familiar with that because of COVID and the restrictions that we had to go through. And during that time of being isolated in her home, pulled away from her friends and many of her family, the Lord began to minister to her heart and brought forth this powerful song, and not just this one, but other songs. And she is well known within the music industry, contemporary music industry, and just loving on the Lord. Listen to this lyric. It says, "When I am in a wasteland, You are the water. A love like this. When I am in the winter, You're the fire that burns. When I'm alone in the night, You are the sunrise. When I'm a desert, You are the river that turns to find me." You hear that? A love like this. What have I done to deserve love like this? What have I done to deserve love like this? Your voice like a whisper, breaking the silence. You say there's a treasure. You'll look till you'll find it. You search to find me. What have I done to deserve a love like this? What have I done to deserve a love like this? I cannot earn what You so freely give. What have I done to deserve a love like this. If you're in a chat, can you just put love? If you're in your rooms, wherever you are, just say love, love, because that is what God is giving us. God is love, and He has encompassed us. And as we're drawing this whole section together, a love like this, this is our whole focus, to just fall head over heels in love with a God that loved us first. Any amens out there? The section of scripture that we're going in is about 80, 95, 96. John has gone through much. Some theologians believe that he was actually exiled to this Patmos Island, which we understand, but the reason was that they tried to kill him by boiling, and he just wouldn't boil. And so that's why he's exiled to this place. It's kind of a volcanic rock place where they would send prisoners. And John is here, and he's caught up on the Lord's Day. He is in the very presence of God and just loving on the Lord. I'm talking about a love like this. You know you got something when you have been exiled, when you're all by yourself, but yet you got more than enough. Let's jump into this section. I'm getting excited already. Revelations 1:1 says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place." Can you put in the chat "shortly"? I want you to really focus in on that "shortly." "And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John." Here's our first point. It's happening now. Yes, it's happening now. As we look closely at this Revelations 1:1, and again, it says the revelation. When you look at the Greek, this means unfolding. Yes, to unfold so that we can see what's happening in the future. But I'm telling you, it's happening right now. The future where John is the presence where we are right now. Can I say that again? The future where John was is the presence or the present time that we're in right now. And notice also within that scripture, jumping down, "these things" or "things which must shortly take place." I'm talking about a love like this. As we draw closer to the Lord, our eyes are open. We become woke. That's a term that's being used within our media. We're seeing the things that are going on, signified it by his angel to his servant John. John is in connection. He's in love with the Lord because God gives a love like this. When I see the youth being shot within High Point and Greensboro and Winston-Salem and Triad area, when I see our government struggling to just communicate and come together on a plan that our country can succeed, when I see these wildfires that are happening in California and other areas, and these floods that are taking place in Kentucky and going down into the West Virginia, unprecedented things such as COVID, viruses that are occurring, and we've got variants after variants, and we've got monkeypox, and then the other day in the news I heard that polio was making a comeback. I'm telling you, the time is now. We have to get closer to the Lord to understand how to walk in this season and time, to have a discernment of what we're supposed to be in this season and time, and most importantly, to share the good news with those that are in darkness, those that are struggling, those that are in pain, to let them know that Jesus is everything. I'm telling you, I just been kind of processing and just striving to get closer to the Lord, and I've been thinking and seeing things that we are actually living in the book of Revelations. We're living in the end times. There was an article that just really blew me. It talked about the monarch butterfly. You know, we grew up, or at least I did in a generation, we play with the butterflies. They fly around. They're so beautiful. I just found out that they have been added to the endangered species categories. Isn't that amazing? Something that was so prevalent, something that was around God's creation, is now on its way to an extinction. And I'm telling you, time is short. God is showing us it is happening now, that as the saints of the Most High God, we have to fall in love with the Lord, as said before, and get closer to Him. Look at Revelations 1:2. "Who bore witness to the Word of God, and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Here's a point. Do you know the Word? Do you know the Word? As we're drawing closer to the Lord, we have to get more Word within our lives. John gave up everything to be used by Christ. He was rewarded to get this revelatory view of the future just because he was close to the Lord. We must strive to get closer to the Lord and understand this wonderful and awesome love that he's giving us. The enemy is doing all that he can do to push us out of relationship with God, to get us out of intimacy with the Lord. So many other things, distractions and fears. Remember that series that the enemy's throwing at us. But please understand, these are the times that we need to hold on and embrace God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. 1 John 2:18 says, "Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour." It's the last hour. 1 John 2:19, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us." I'm talking about a love like this. It goes on in 1 John 2:20, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." If you're a believer, can you say, "I got anointing from the Holy One"? Yes, he has given us wisdom. He's our teacher. We can understand as we're drawing closer to the Lord. 1 John 2:21, "I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it." We've got to grasp the Word of God, and that no lie is of the truth. I'm telling you, we're living in a season of lies. We're living in a season of half-truths, all of these things. And we, as the saints of God, must seek him with our whole heart. A love like this. Look at Revelation 1:3. "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." I want to read that. I want you to get this. Please get this with me. Blessed. Can you type it in that chat? Blessed. Blessed. This is a powerful word. Blessed is he who reads. I got some quick type. Put "reads" and "those who hear." Somebody else, you can put "hear." This is important. "The words of this prophecy and keep." Can you put "keep"? K-E-E-P. "Keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." Another one. I'm telling you, I'm working you. N-E-A-R. Near. Can you put it that? Simply because we have to fight for it. That's the point. That's the point. Fight for it. The enemy is doing, as said before, to push us back, to keep us from the intimacy in the Lord, to keep us from relationship in the Lord, to keep us from drawing closer to God. But you're going to have to fight for it. Notice within this again, we went over it. "Blessed is he who reads, hears, and keeps, for the time is near." Saints of God, I'm telling you, as we look at all these things that are coming to a climactic, coming to this area, I'm telling you, the standards are going lower and lower. Morality at an all-time low. All of these struggles. I want you to know that the time is near. It is getting short, and God is saying the safest place is in my presence. Isaiah and Paul, a witness of this in Romans 10:16, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, the Lord who has believed our report. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I'm telling you, saints, we need to focus more on the Lord. 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." I'm talking about a love like this. Saints of God, do you feel the turmoil? Do you feel the struggle? Just say amen wherever you are. That there's something in the atmosphere. We fight against, not against flesh and blood, but against rulers of darkness, principalities, all of these things. We can sense the tension, but I'm so glad for a God of love and kindness. And come on, just embrace me. I got you. Look at Revelation 1:4. "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Here's another point. God has given us grace and peace. Yes, grace and peace. Anybody want grace and peace? I do. God has actually given us grace and peace. So in these tumultuous times, in these times of struggles, in these times of economic up and downs and talks of recession and inflation and supply and demand, all of these things, as saints of God, because we're getting closer to the Lord, we can have peace and we can have God's grace. Notice in Revelation 1:4, he said, grace to you and peace, which comes from him. Who is him? Jesus Christ. So the closer we get to the Lord, the more we get to know him, the more we're in his word, the more grace and peace that we have in our life. John is exiled on this island, and while he's on this island, he is in the presence of God. He's having the best time in his life simply because God is there. And in our lives, that's what we need to realize. No matter what's going on the outside, as long as we got King Jesus, as long as we have a connection and we're loving on the Lord and he's loving on us. Notice here, he speaks this. He says, comes from the seven spirits who are before his throne. What does that mean? This is actually the paraclete, our keeper and our teacher, the Holy Spirit. God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of us. And when we're in God's presence and seeking him, we no longer grieve the Holy Spirit. And now we can understand and feel God's love. Theologian Farstead, he writes this. Listen to this. This refers to God, the Holy Spirit, in his fullness, seven being the number of perfection and completeness. It is not surprising that the number seven is found 54 times in this final book of the Bible. 54 times. An amazing love like this. Look at Revelations 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's heavy. Here's the point. Oh, how he loves you and me. Yes. Oh, how he loves you and me. Kurt Kaiser in 1975 wrote this melody and with lyrics in about 15 minutes. That's the background of this song. He said that God began to speak to me. I wrote it down, and this was a blockbuster. It stood the test of time. He goes, oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. And he had put in those lyrics and sent it to get a copyright, but the copyright officials, they sent back and they said, it's not long enough. You got to have some more to it. He was like, that's all that's needed. But he adds this next section just so he can get a copyright. He said, Jesus the Calvary did go, his love for mankind to show. What he did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Isn't that amazing? And he looked back on it. He said it was a great summary to what I was already feeling on the inside, because God loves us so much. I'm talking about a love like this. Look at Revelation 1:5, that second part, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I'm telling you, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There ought to be some saints that say, God, thank you for your blood. Thank you. I plead the blood in my life. As we draw closer to the Lord, we've got God's covering. Look at Revelations 1:6. And has made us kings and priests. Can you say kings and priests? Somebody quick on that chat. Just put kings and priests. Kings and priests. To his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here's the point. Give God the glory. Yes. Give God the glory. I'm talking about for love like this. We have so much to praise the Lord for. There ought to be some shouts of praise. When we think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for us, there ought to be some folks. You ought to be getting up off them couches right now, jumping up out of the chairs. When we think about how he's blessed us, how he's kept us through these times, these struggles, how he's been a wonderful provider. He's given us shelter over our head. He's kept our faith. families together. Even when we had to go through sickness, he was a healer in the sick room. There ought to be some shouts of praise. I'm talking about a love like this. Here John reveals that he has made us kings and priests. Oh, I'm talking about just a closer walk with him. As we're striving to get closer to the Lord, God has given us so many wonders of gifts. Let me explain this. The Apostle Peter gives us a wonderful understanding of this scripture in 1 Peter 2:9. Listen to this. But you are chosen. And you shout out chosen, put it in the chat. Chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him. Can somebody say, I am special. I am special, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I'm telling you, as we grow closer to the Lord, we began to look more like Jesus. Man, I'm talking about a love like this. To think we serve a God that's really having his arms open and say, run to me, run to me. You can run to me this morning. You can run to me in the noonday. You can run to me in the evening. And he braces us. I'm telling you, E. Henson writes, as redeemed ones, believers constitute a kingdom and are kings and priests unto God. Since Christ is both king and priest, his own partake of his nature and offices. Here's the question. Are you looking more like Jesus? Yes, I want you to process that. Are you looking more like Jesus? I'm not just talking about that biblical figure that wore sandals. I'm not talking about that, or maybe long robes. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about who Christ was and what he represented, how he walked and how he manifested the will of the Father in his life every day. Another question may arise. What does Christ look like in us? If we're looking more like Jesus and we're falling in love with him because he first loved us and we're drawing closer to him, what does that look like? I'm glad you asked that, because Matthew 25:31 begins to explain, as Jesus wrote, he said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, when he will sit on the throne of his glory, Matthew 25:32, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. I'm telling you, aren't you glad that God allowed these things to be written down in the word of God? As Jesus taught these things, he gives us a livid picture of what he is in us and what it looks like. Let me show you some more. Matthew 25:34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. I'm talking about a love like this. But notice, he goes on to explain something. Matthew 25:37. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see the you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? I'm talking about a love like this. Now, when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you, or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? In Matthew 25:40, and the king will answer and say to them, as surely I say to you, inasmuch you did it to the one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Are you looking like Christ? Is that love manifesting in you that you want to reach out to others and people can see Jesus in us? Look at Revelation 1:7, a love like this. Behold, he's coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Here's the point. See him now or see him later. Yes. See him now or see him later. Let me explain this. If you're seeking him now, when Christ returns, there will be rejoicing. Yes, we're going to be excited to see him, especially as we fought through these things and we're loving him more, and we're just thankful to have his presence in our life. When he finally breaks open those clouds and comes back where every eye can see him, we're going to be rejoicing. But please know and understand, this is a word for you. He is coming back. He is coming back. It's been talked about over and over in the scripture. Can I just give you a history lesson of these prophetic words? that have told us that he's coming back. 600 BC, Daniel 7:13. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the of the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. 520 BC, Zechariah 12:10. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem in the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. 32 AD, Jesus said this in Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Can you put in the chat, he's coming on a cloud that every eye can see him? You can just put cloud there. Matthew 24:31, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of the heaven to the other. I'm telling you, will you be mourning or rejoicing in his return? I'm telling you, I want to be the side of rejoicing. I want to see him now. I don't want to be in judgment at the end because I did not accept Christ or choose to fall in love with him because he first loved us. Rufus Cornelius, he writes this: oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice, cares are past, home at last, ever to rejoice. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back. Are you prepared for his return? Revelations 1:8. Let me sum this up. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I love this. This is the point. He is everything. Yes, he is everything. We must not miss this opportunity to fall in love with everything. He is everything. To grasp him, as said before, and have a closer walk with him, to really allow God to manifest himself within our lives. Woodrow Knoll said this: he spends time and eternity and exhausts the vocabulary of excellence. He is the source and goal of creation. Whatever you need, it can be found in the great I Am. Are there any amens out there? Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. Christ is who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. He is everything. I'm telling you, as we pull this series together, I just want you to know that we have the Ancient of Days within our lives. We have the one King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but we can't give up as we see the state of our government, as said before, seems to be going down and down, as we see the struggles within our community seem to be arising and arising. I'm telling you, we cannot grow weary. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I'm telling you, because that same Jesus who came from heaven to earth and walked among men, healed the sick and raised the dead, he's coming back. I'm talking about a love like this, because that same Jesus that went to the Garden of Gethsemane and cried out three times and said, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done. He's coming back. I'm talking about a love like this. I'm talking about that same Jesus who was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. That same Jesus that went down the Via Dolorosa and was beaten as he had a crossbar on his back. He's coming back, a love like this. That same Jesus that hung on the cross of Calvary, nails in his hands and nails in his feet. I'm telling you, a love like this. Even so, there was a thief on the side of him and said, you know what? You're not like us, but when you come into your kingdom, will you remember me? And I'm talking about a love like this. Aren't you glad that Jesus, even in turmoil, carrying our sins and bearing our griefs, he looked over and said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. That same Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave, but I'm so glad to tell you, on the third day he gets up with all power and all glory. That same Jesus has so much love for us, and he's coming back soon. Saints, this is the season. Man, we're running to the finish line. Don't give up now. Don't slacken your devotions and your Bible reading and fellowshipping with the saints and lifting up your hands and praising God and worshiping. Don't stop now. Oh, he's given us a love like this to prepare us for this end push, to prepare us for these end times. Saints, I don't know the exact date that he's coming back, but I can tell you he's on his way. I don't know. It could be tomorrow. It could be today. It could be 5 years. But saints of God, he's given us this season and time to get closer to him, just a closer walk with thee. God has granted that through his mercies and kindness because he first loved us. We've said it over. He first loved us. God is love. And he's saying, all those who desire to seek me, knock, and the door will be open. Ask, and it shall be given. A love like this. Maybe you don't know Christ, and I'm telling you, I'm not talking about something that I just heard, but I'm telling you something I experienced. Christ is everything. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father but by him. Would you ask him into your heart today? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead. The scriptures are clear. You will be saved. It's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Would you receive that gift today? To the saints, I encourage you to really focus in. Decide today, I'm going to seek him more. I'm gonna just embrace him. I'm gonna praise him more. I'm gonna worship him more. It doesn't matter where you are. I'm telling you, God wants you to get in his presence at all times. Be quick to ask for forgiveness. Say, Lord, forgive me. And then get right back in his presence. Embrace, because he has a love like this. As John was in his presence, God wants us to be in his presence in this season and time. That the world, the dark world, can see the world that's going through so many struggles. They can see there is hope. Jesus is everything. And he has so much love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, that we live in expectancy of his return. As we fall in love with him more and more. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for a love like this, that you have granted us a closer walk with you. All we got to do is just seek you. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to pray and that you hear our prayers. Thank you for giving us the ability to praise you, Lord, and just to lift up your name. Thank you, God, that in spite of all our failures, in spite of all of our sins and struggles, you've given us a way that we can grow closer to you. Lord, forgive us for the times that we've taken that for granted. And in this season and in this time, oh Lord, it is my prayer that more souls come to the knowledge of the truth of you. And the saints, Lord, walk closer and closer to you. Thank you, God, for all that you're doing. And thank you for using your body in this season and time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
How to reach the masses, men of every birth, for an answer.